Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Helen Thorpe is a writer who lives in Denver, Colorado. She's been a staff writer for the New York Observer, the New Yorker, and Texas Monthly. She also has written freelance stories for the New York Times Magazine, Slate, Harper's Bazaar, and other publications. She's really great. If we actually get to talk to her, you'll realize how great she is. Her stories have appeared on This American Life and Soundprint, and Soldier Girls is her second book. And again, it's Soldier Girls, The Battles of Three Women at Home and at War. And we welcome Helen Thorpe to the program. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I am fine. I was vamping there. So everybody knows everything about your life. I read everything I know about you just while we were getting you on the phone again. So
I'm sorry we got disconnected.
That is all right. So you tell the story of these three women, Desma Brooks, Michelle Fisher, and Debbie Helton. And when you look at 12 years, at what point did you become aware of this story?
Yeah. So the book covers a 12-year span. I actually met these women in 2010 after they had safely returned from both of their two deployments. And so the book begins in 2001, and we go back and look at who they were, why they decided to join the National Guard. And, of course, they all joined before 9/11, and they had intended to become part-time soldiers, and then everything changed. And then I follow them. They shared with me their diaries and their letters, emails they wrote to people at home, even medical records and therapy notes, because one of them does return with post-traumatic stress disorder. And so we were able to reconstruct the whole decade in quite a lot of detail. So that's the way. And we did, of course, hours and hours and hours of interviews also.
What do you think these three women had in common that would bring them to a decision that said that the National Guard at that moment, obviously pre-9/11, was right for them?
Yeah. What's interesting is I think they did have a lot in common, and yet what led them into the Guard was quite different. And they're very different in seeming at first glance. So there's 30 years difference in age from the youngest to the oldest, and there's that much difference in their political beliefs. The youngest, Michelle Fisher, she was 18 years old when she enlisted in March 2001, and she was signing up for college tuition benefits. And she was enlisting almost reluctantly. She had just voted for Ralph Nader in the preceding presidential election. She did not fit in well in the Guard in terms of her political beliefs. Yet, when she ended up deploying, she became very, very close friends with Desma Brooks, who was a single mother with three children, had dropped out of high school, and had voted for George Bush in that same presidential election before 9/11. You wouldn't think the two of them would become close, yet during the year they spent in Afghanistan, they did become very close. Desma enlisted for sort of different reasons. She needed an extra paycheck. I think she was looking for a way to prove herself after dropping out of high school. And then you had Debbie Helton, who was kind of a pioneer who had helped integrate women into their Guard unit. You know, whereas both Desma and Michelle were very interested in politics, even though they were very different in how they thought about it, Debbie actually hates politics, doesn't believe in politicians. She thinks they're all bad news. Yet she ended up becoming very close friends with both of them during their deployment to Afghanistan. She and Michelle both worked on the armament team, so they worked together every day. Debbie was just so cheerful, so optimistic, so reassuring that Michelle sort of clung to her almost like in a mother-daughter kind of relationship.
What was the reaction following these women? They get into the National Guard, and of course, nobody could have expected what the National Guard would be asked to do after 9/11.
Right.
So, their reaction to that, was there a sense of shock or betrayal in any way?
Very much so on the part of Michelle Fisher, and then, you know, with Debbie Helton, the oldest of the three women, you kind of saw the opposite reaction. she had actually always wanted to join the military. Her dad had been in the regular army. So she thought of military service as the highlight of her life. She was a beautician, before and after her deployments. And so she kind of liked working at the beauty salon. She liked her clients, but she thought serving in the Guard was like a far more fulfilling type of work to do. So you saw the women have very different responses to the idea of then becoming more full-time soldiers during these deployments. And it was interesting how they would splinter in terms of their reactions and yet, grow incredibly close over the course of the deployments and then support each other, during the return home, which was always bumpy.
I'm curious, you mentioned you met these women in 2011 and started to write this book and work on this book at that time. And over that three-year period, there have been more and more stories, and there has been a spotlight, sometimes weak, sometimes stronger, on the issue of sexual assault within the military.
Yep.
And I'm curious as to whether you came to that with these women prior to this becoming a national news story, or was your investigation sort of came and as these allegations were being made on a national scale, those were questions that you wanted to dig into?
Those were not questions at the forefront of my mind at the beginning of the project. I was just simply interested in the subject of veterans returning home after Iraq and Afghanistan. And when I was first starting, I was interviewing both men and women. I found that myself being a female journalist and not having any military background myself, the men that I was interviewing, they were very polite and they were kind and they were generous with their time and they did not really want to open up with me. And I did not feel I could really be, I wasn't the right person to tell their story. We didn't click. Then I met Michelle Fisher, and we had a rapport right away. She felt comfortable opening up to me. She started telling me in much more detail what her deployment was like, what the challenges were for her, and also about the struggles of her two friends. She was very worried about this woman, Desma, that she was so close to, a single mom with three kids who hit a roadside bomb during her second deployment and was coming home and struggling to parent again. And just because I'm a mom, I thought, well, that is a story that I haven't read a lot about and would love to know more about, and how does that work? And so then I met Desma and Debbie. While we were doing all of our interviews, I did say to them, listen, there are all these stories about sexual assault on posts overseas coming out in the news, and what do you all think about that? It was not something they raised with me, but when I raised the question with them, they were describing how prevalent it was. They were not assaulted during their two deployments, but they did hear about the assaults around them. They even knew some women who had been assaulted, and in the book you kind of see them describe the atmosphere in which those assaults would take place, and it was one in which you had a lot of people under very intense circumstances, and women were very, very much in the minority, and men were competing all the time for their attention as they were working alongside each other overseas. During the Iraq deployment, Desma was transferred first into a previously all-male infantry regiment temporarily, and then into a previously all-male field artillery regiment. And she was allowed to do that because they were doing convoy security, so they were acting in a support capacity. Normally, women wouldn't serve in those units.
Right.
But, the ratio, there were, in her company, 100 men, 100 individuals, and most of them were men. There were just two or three women. The ratios were incredibly skewed, and strange things happen under those circumstances in a war environment. Interestingly, in the book, you actually see Desma physically assault a man, not the other way around, and it's because he's accusing her of sleeping with their boss, which she's not doing, and then she gets sent to anger management. So the way it actually plays out in their individual lives is maybe not what you might expect from the headlines,
right,
but you really understand the environment they're operating in and how those assaults might happen.
When you talk about environment, I thought one of the more fascinating aspects of the book is how you follow the women as they return to the Midwest and
yeah.
the challenges that they face.
Yeah.
There are certainly economic struggles. They have to regain relationships at home, and that's a difficult thing to do when you've been away for a long time.
It's really hard for them to explain to the people they care about at home exactly what they lived through. And I could begin to understand just myself trying to, ask them about their deployments. But we would do these marathon interviews where they would talk for 6 or 8 hours, and my arm would start to ache from trying to write it all down. And, you know, it's just really hard to explain what a deployment is like to somebody who hasn't been there. And so they would come home, and they would have a kind of an easier camaraderie with anybody who had also deployed, and just a big gulf with those who had not. Especially family members who might have, had difficulty with the deployment. So then they're battling with the family member's emotional reality on top of this lack of understanding, perhaps, about what they had lived through. And they also, Desma returns home with a pretty big case of PTSD after hitting the roadside bomb. So she required kind of years of therapy to actually try and reduce her hypervigilance. You see her, scanning the roadsides for bombs constantly as she's driving around her home state of Indiana, which, is actually perfectly safe, except for the usual ordinary car accidents or whatever. But, the highways are not lined with bombs, but she's reacting as if that might be the case all the time, and to get her to try to relax and try to have a normal sense of safety or security is really a struggle.
The name of the book is Soldier Girls, The Battles of Three Women at Home and at War. The book is published by Scribner. Helen Thorpe, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. It's a fascinating book, and I appreciate you discussing it with us this morning.
It's a pleasure. I'm glad to get the chance to speak.
A delight. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.